I am here today. I'm Mayor Deb Finan, and I am here with Julie Pride from CUPHD. Julie, why don't you take just a minute and give us a little bit of background about you?
Okay. I am the administrator over at Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. I started there as an intern in 1988 when it was just a little tiny agency. I was director of infectious disease and HIV for years. I started working there full-time in 1995, and I've been the administrator since 2007, and I think it's probably the one of the best jobs in the world.
I would agree with you, although a pretty hard one in the last year.
It's been a busy year, yes.
It's what you train for, though, right?
It is, indeed. Yep.
So I have a bunch of questions today. You and I think, are going to focus on vaccines.
Okay.
And I'm going to start with what I get asked kind of every day, which is, how does the program work? So can you give some background about supply and storage and all of those kind of things?
So we in our community, you know, we have a lot of partners, the hospitals, the clinics, the U of I government, we have a very EMA. We have a very large group that works and practices and plans for such things as mass vaccination clinics. We've prepared for this for well over 20 years as a group together. But And we actually have plans should we need to vaccinate the entire community within, you know, a week. And we could do that. But the problem is vaccine supply. So with this pandemic, we have to just await vaccine allocations that come in from the state. They get them from the federal government, and they've been spotty at best. Normally, we would like to know how many vaccines we're getting, how often, and we would like a constant, steady stream of them coming in. We don't know exactly, you know, each week what our vaccine allotment will be to help us plan as well as we would like. So what we do is we have a series of plans that we can expand and contract based on what our allotment will be. So once we get the vaccine, you know, we know we're getting the vaccine, we open up appointments for priority populations. So the first we started out with 75 and up and health, well, first we started with healthcare workers, then 75 and up, then 65 and up with underlying health conditions. And now we're vaccinating 65 and up. So we just keep opening clinics for those same groups until we have everybody vaccinated within those groups. And then we move on to the next group. And the next group in our community will be educators, people, you know, working in the schools. So, and then we just keep moving, you know, from there. Should we unexpectedly get a lot of vaccine, we will expand and we will open it up for more people, and we will just expand all the clinics. Currently,
Possible, like you said you were doing 65 and up, but you also, as at least as I'm watching the signups, it seems as though sometimes the signups get full, but that doesn't mean they won't reopen once there's another supply of vaccine, correct?
Correct. And what we're doing is having people go ahead and call in, and then they get on a list. And then at the beginning of the next appointment period, we call people back and get them on the list, but it has to be within that category. But, you know, so look for at the end of each week, we'll try to open more appointments for the next week. That's how we've been doing it. This week we opened up, I can't remember how many thousands of slots, and they filled up within, you know, a matter of hours. So we have various ways that people can get an appointment. They can either call into the line if they prefer that, or they can go online and sign up through the online form.
How do we know it's our turn? Where's the best place to be monitoring so that I have the news that it's time to go online and sign up?
Yeah. So it will be on our Facebook page. So what we do to make sure that we're having like equitable distribution, and it's not just focused on people who happen to, you know, read the newspaper, or people that only listen to radio or only do TV, something like that. What we do is at the same time we're pushing out the information via the press releases so that it goes into regular media, we're also putting it on social media, so Twitter, Facebook, and then we also at the same time it goes out to a lot of community partners. So it goes out through some of the faith-based community. We have a, you know, Interfaith Alliance. We have different church groups that we send things out through. We have the Immigrant Center. We have we send it out through PACE for the deaf and hard of hearing community. We just have a Human Services Council. We send it out to anybody that works with clients' housing authority, so that they can also reach out then to their either their clients or their constituents or their, you know, the people in their sphere of influence. They can reach out to them as well. So,
what happens if I'm someone who, you know, maybe needs a ride to a clinic, or you know, I'm low income or just disabled, have a disability? How is there a process for getting help if I need to access, because the clinics are in certain spots in the community, correct? Mm. We don't have mobile clinics.
Correct. Not yet. We eventually will, but right now it's the ones we have going right now are at the I Hotel, at Public Health, and up at the Dress Barn. All of them are on a bus route. So we have that. And of course, there's, you know, Uber, we've had medical taxis show up. We've had all kinds of places show up to do that. Long-term care facility and assisted living, they're getting vaccinated in their facilities. But we are also, once we get further along, you know, we will be able to do some outreach clinics, but that will be more when it opens up. We're also working with the home health agencies and trying to figure out how to get people vaccinated who are homebound. So to actually have health workers go into the homes to get the people who are homebound vaccinated.
Well, and I have a bunch more questions for you, but I do want to give you a shout out. The last time I looked, which was a couple of days ago, Champaign County was at about 5.9%. vaccination rate, and the state was at 0.8%. So the process that you are using is clearly working. You are really doing a great job of getting people vaccinated within the categories as you move through them. I have had some questions from people, and I think you've got an answer to this, but how come we have some congregate care settings where people have not yet received a vaccine, but yep. If I'm in the community and I'm 65 or older, I can sign up and get a vaccine. Aren't the congregate care places supposed to be higher on the list?
They are the highest on the list. They should be, all across the United States, they are the ones that should have been vaccinated first. For some reason, the federal government worked with pharmacies to have the pharmacies vaccinate all of the long-term care. But I will tell you that this week, we at CUPHD submitted a plan to the state to say, we need to get in there and figure out how to get these vaccinated faster. So we will partner with the long-term care to get the vaccine out to them. We need to get them vaccinated. Some of the places are not even scheduled, you know, for a month or two. That's just not acceptable. So we have gotten permission to do that. So the pharmacies will still be doing some, and then public health will be working with our other community partners to get everyone vaccinated, hopefully by the end of this month.
Will you be using the pharmacy's allotment of vaccine? Then, I mean, you'll just basically be taking over for them.
We'll be partnering with them. I mean, they'll still have some, but yes, that's where the vaccine would be coming from, is that they should have had that allotment to them, but we just can't wait for, you know, a couple of months to get places vaccinated. So we're going to have to all kind of work together to get that done a lot quicker.
That's awesome. So I know that there are two different brands of the vaccine right now. Are there, excuse me, any differences that we need to be aware of as a community if you're getting vaccinated?
really, the thing is, get the vaccine, get whatever vaccine you can as soon as you can get it. So, the vaccines have a little bit different, like one requires you, Moderna requires you to wait 28 days for the second dose. Pfizer's 21 days. One of them is for 18 and up, one of them's for 16 and up, which isn't really relevant right now because we're not anywhere near that age group. But as soon as you have the opportunity to get the vaccination, please get the vaccination, whichever one it is.
So, Julie, one of the questions that keeps coming up is, what are the protocols post-vaccination? Am I good to go? Do I still need to be concerned for myself? What about being concerned for others that I'm around?
So a couple of weeks after your second dose, your second vaccination, a couple of weeks after that, you should be able to reach full immunity by about that time. But what they don't know, they know that the vaccines, the trials have shown that the vaccines do a great job of preventing hospitalizations and deaths. What it hasn't shown yet is, does it prevent any transmission? So it is still believed right now that it is possible that you could still have, an asymptomatic case and be able to spread that to others. And so until we get most of the community or most of the, county vaccinated or anyone you're around, we don't want people to stop wearing the mask because it is possible, they believe, to transmit it. Now, the science may catch up and then we'll find out that's not the case. But right now, masks are to continue to be worn after this.
What about testing post-vaccination? Am I going to test positive? And do I need to, if I am in an essential workplace and I am continuing to go in post-vaccination, do you still recommend that I test regularly to check for asymptomatic spread?
Okay, so no, you will not test positive because you've been vaccinated. That's a really good question, and that's one that we get asked a lot. So it will not affect your test result. Now, whether you should test all the time or not, that's going to be based on, individual places' guidance. I don't really know that right now. But testing has never been a way to, it's not prevention, but it is a way to stop an outbreak quicker. So we just don't know yet where that's going to land policy wise, but we do know that it will not affect your test results. So,
but it is possible, at least the science thinks right now, because I know it's all very new, that mm-hmm. I could still be an asymptomatic carrier. I could have the disease and not know even post-vaccination.
That is the assumption that we're working on. And that's why people need to continue wearing masks until everybody's vaccinated.
Okay. You mentioned when we talked about the two different varieties, different age groups, and I know we're not there yet, but I've got a 14-year-old who mm-hmm. would really like to be vaccinated. It sounds like from what you described, maybe that's not available to her yet. Can you tell us when younger kids under the age of 16 can expect that they'll be able to be vaccinated?
I'm guessing by summer. It's really hard to know, though. I don't know where, because there's two things that are working against them. One is it hasn't been approved for them yet. So as soon as those studies are done, then of course they're lower down on the priority list because in general, they're not as at risk for negative outcomes. So I'm guessing by summer, I'm certainly hoping that by summer we will have vaccine for kids.
Okay. And if you read the conspiracy theories online, there's information that this vaccine is going to change your DNA and don't give it to your children. Can you speak to that?
Well, it's not. I mean, that's just not even possible. It's a messenger RNA vaccine. That's just not how it works. It's kind of hard to explain it in a way. Let me think of a way maybe to explain it, but it is absolutely not going to do that. There are all kinds of rumors out there. But I do know that, there are people who are saying that this vaccine isn't safe now. these, because it's so new, but these are also a lot of the same people who are saying, you know, that the MMR vaccine or the varicella vaccine or all the other vaccines we have aren't safe and effective when we've indeed been using them, you know, for decades and decades. So, but it, the messenger RNA vaccine is not going to in any way change your DNA. That's not even possible. What it is doing is showing up. It will show antibodies. It will create antibodies by having the little proteins go in there. It's kind of like a little Xerox machine in there, cranking out the little proteins so that your body can recognize it and mount an effective attack.
So I've also heard people being concerned that the vaccine will give them COVID and make them sick. Can you speak to that?
That's also not possible. It cannot give them COVID. It's not a live vaccine. It's not a attenuated vaccine. It is a completely different kind of vaccine. You know, again, we have that belief with the flu shot, and of course the flu shot cannot give you flu either. It is what's called a killed vaccine. But yes, I know there are lots of rumors out there. And there are lots and lots of ways to explain this and show people that are actually interested in learning about it. But there are a great many people who are not interested in truly learning about it. But those who are interested, you know, we have a little video on our Facebook page, I'm sorry, on our website that shows how the vaccine works. And it explains it. It's a nice little, like a little cartoon video. So I suggest that people look on there. The main thing is get your information from trusted sources. That's key.
And you want to give us, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, you want to give us your website address, because there is a lot of really good information on there.
Sure. It's c-up.hd.org. So that's, or you can also just type in Champaign-Urbana Public Health District and you'll find our website. But yes, we have a dashboard on there. We have, you can find the latest data, and you can also find information about vaccination, including the state's entire plan, including where we are locally at vaccinating. And all the data on there is really nice. It's searchable. It's, you can click on it, expand it. You can, you know, pretty much get your data geek on all you want on there. So you can click on the bottom corner where it says Tableau, click on that, and you'll see that there's all kinds of other information. You can expand it, you can contract it, you can do all kinds of things.
So over the last, I guess, almost 11 months now, you and I have really gotten to know each other well. I've had the benefit of being able to work with you almost daily on what's going on in our community. And I want to thank you for being such a great resource and doing just doing a great job. Our community numbers have stayed low, mostly because of the work that you have done and your leadership. So I appreciate that. I know, because I've gotten to know you well, that you have some heartwarming vaccination stories. Some, you know, over the last month or so that you've been involved in vaccination, that you've really, there have been some nice things and in this hard time with so many deaths and the devastation of the pandemic, I want to give you the opportunity to share, if you'd like to share a heartwarming vaccination story.
Well, I mean, it has been, you know, it's been a tough year for everyone, certainly. But once we are able to start vaccinating, that has been a huge morale boost to everyone, I think, in our community. But yes, there have been just some absolutely, you know, sweet people who have been coming through here, and people are very happy. They're thankful. They're just, you know, it's been really nice. But one of the absolute sweetest vaccines I think we've given so far is, there was a gentleman in here who is a World War II veteran. He was all wearing his, you know, hat and his bars, his ribbons, and he actually had on a Bronze Star and a Purple Heart. And he, when he got his vaccine, he was so sweet. He was so thankful. He was thanking me. And I said, well, I think you've got that wrong. I mean, I need to be thanking you. And I asked him if I could have a picture, and he said, absolutely. And I took a picture of him, and I have it in my phone. And, you know, anytime it gets extra rough, or we, you know, I'm taking a lot of flack for things that I can't control, I just look at that picture, because that's why we do it. We do what we do in public health, you know, and with all of our partners and everything. Why we do this is to save lives. And, you know, we're at a much more hopeful place when we have something that we can actually do, like the vaccine. But our community has just done an amazing job with the masking and the distancing and the, you know, the emergency orders that you and Mayor Marlin have put in place, and all of the different stuff that the U of I has done. It's just been absolutely amazing. You know, but like I keep saying, we're now to the more hopeful part. It's not going as fast as any of us would like, but I do have a lot of hope that we're going to start seeing vaccine production ramp up, and then we're really going to start being able to get this out even faster.
That's great. So is there anything that I missed that the community needs to know about vaccines, other than I'm going to ask you, if you have it, to share the phone number as well, in case people want to call to get on the list?
Sure. So when you, there is no just general list, but if you are in the 65 and up category right now, and you haven't had a vaccine, because you just weren't able to get in through the earlier ones, or you've changed your mind and you now want it, you can call into 239-7877. And you can get more information on when we expect to open up, you know, the next clinics. But we will continue vaccinating in those priority categories until it appears that we're, you know, getting about done with them. Then we'll open up the next category. And but anyone who is in the category above where we are, they can continue getting vaccinated.
So and you know what, I apologize. I thought of one other question, because you told me that you get it about 50 times a day. And okay, that is, if my mother-in-law lives in DuPage County, can't get on the list there because they're not as organized perhaps as we are in Champaign County. Can she come down and get vaccinated here?
Yes. No, unfortunately, you know, we do get that question. I get that question a lot. No, you need to get vaccinated in the county that you live in. The only exception would be is if you happen to work in a county where you're having workplace vaccination clinics. Let's say you work in manufacturing later on, or you work in, you know, the schools or something like that, where we're actually vaccinating in work site. If you work in our county, you can get the vaccine as well. But in general, it is, you have to have a residence here. So we do have people who, you know, have a residence here and maybe in Florida as well, and or Arizona or something like that. And if they come back, you know, once they come back here, and they still have a home here, they can absolutely be vaccinated here as well.
Okay. And our college students, I assume they are somewhere on the list. And are they going to be vaccinated in their home communities, or are they going to be vaccinated in Champaign-Urbana?
Well, the students, once we get to that point, there will be enough vaccine that there will be multiple places where people can get vaccinated, pharmacies, clinics, all over the place. So by the time we get to the college age students without underlying health conditions, I think that they will have quite the variety of places to be able to get vaccinated. Also, there will be a time where you'll be able to get vaccinated anywhere you want, like at a pharmacy, just kind of like you can with flu shots and other things. We're just not anywhere near that yet, but we are moving towards it.
And every time I say, oh, I'm done, I think of another question that isn't on my list. So let me ask you one more, which is, will I need the vaccination again in a year? Is this a lifetime shot, or is this an annual shot?
Well, we don't know that yet. The science is still, you know, going to have to catch up. Well, you have to remember that the vaccine trials haven't even gone on for, you know, a full year yet. So We don't know. They will continue studying this, and then we'll find out if it ends up having to be like a flu shot or something else.
Fantastic. So thank you, Julie, for joining me today. Is there anything else you want the community to know either about public health or about the vaccination?
Well, I just want everyone to know that, you know, our community partners and CUPHD, we're working hard to make sure that, you know, we can get the vaccine out as fast as possible, and to please, you know, have patience and, you know, be kind to my staff. They're working their rear ends off and they're answering the phone 7 days a week and doing contact tracing and all of that. We're still doing that. So just, and I also want everyone to know how proud I am to live in this community. I've said, as many of you who have known me have known, I've said for well over 20 years that if you have to ride out a pandemic, this is the community to do it in, because we all collaborate so well together. We work so well together, and we have creative and caring community. And this has never been shown more than during this time, in my opinion. So thank you, community.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you. Thanks for spending some of your busy day with us. And we will check back in with you probably later on as vaccinations continue. So thank you very much, Julie.
Thank you. Stay safe.